The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey, I am so glad that you're here. It is time for coffee. It is my favorite time of the week where you and I get to sit with another friend and just hear about what God's doing in their life. And today we are joined by Amy Brewer. Amy is the founder of Elizabeth's Voice, which is a organization in Eastern Africa, over in Uganda, and they are changing the world by giving dignified jobs and education. They employ 38 single moms and widows full-time and provide education tuition for their 74 students, all the way from preschool to university. I loved hearing Amy's story. I loved the products that she showed me. It was just such a fun time to get to know her, and I know that you are going to enjoy meeting her as well. So, friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited. We're sitting down with a new friend, Amy Brewer, who is the founder of Elizabeth's Voice, and we're just going to hear all about her heart and her mission and what she's doing over in Uganda. And Africa is a huge place, but it has a sweet spot in my heart, being so close to Zoe's home country. I'm just really excited to have this conversation. Amy, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. First, what's in your cup? What are you drinking this morning?
I'm drinking just coffee from home, but I put lots of cinnamon and vanilla in it and like a splash of milk. It's delicious.
That sounds really good. I'm trying to, like, I bought some half and half, so I'm going to, like, try to, like, venture away from my creamer. It's a fine creamer, but I'm like, it's time to venture out. I just want to be, like, the half and half person, half and half and a little bit of sweetener.
But yes. You got to put a lot of cinnamon. It helps a ton. Because it takes, like, the bitterness away and makes it a little bit better. Yeah.
That's fine.
More cinnamon than is necessary.
Yeah, than you think. Do you put cinnamon in your grounds at all, like when you're grind or when you do your beans or anything like that?
Yes, I definitely do that sometimes, but not. I didn't do it today, but
yeah, it seems like an extra step, and I'm not. Yeah. No, I'm not always an extra step kind of gal. Sometimes
me too, for sure. I would just make it really fast.
That's right. Okay, will you please tell us more about you and what you do and how you founded this incredible organization, everything that you do with Elizabeth's Voice?
Yes. So about 5 years ago, Elizabeth's Voice started, and the whole idea of the organization and the name is based off Elizabeth in the Bible. When Mary found out she was pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth was there for her. So the whole idea is women helping women, and God will always send you someone when you really need it the most. And so that's the whole idea of our entire organization. So 5 years ago, I met my business partner, he's Ugandan. I never meant to work in Uganda. I never meant to do this long term or anything like that. I was a nurse, and I went to South Sudan and Mozambique and worked in clinics in those countries and women's health clinics specifically. I worked with midwives because that's what I always wanted to do. And then I would see all the ladies coming to the clinic, and the only difference between me and these ladies were I had an opportunity in my life to have an education and just be able to have opportunities to have a dignified job as a nurse. And that was like the main difference between me and them is our opportunities in life. And I was like, start praying how I could like pretty much bridge that gap. I know it's a very general prayer, but I was like, I want to do something about this. It just seems so unfair that these moms can't feed their babies. But just because they don't have a dignified job, if they just made a little bit of money, they would take care such good care of their kids. They just don't have the resources they need. And so I went to Uganda literally just for a safari. I've been to Africa several times and never been on a safari before. So I was like, before I leave this time, it was around my 30th birthday. I was like, I'm going to go on a safari. So I went and I stayed at a hotel that my now business partner was selling her things at, like the hand-woven baskets and paper bead jewelry, all the kind of Ugandan crafts that people love, and they're so beautiful. And as soon as I met her, I was like, this is the person I've been praying for. This is the opportunity that I have. And pretty much from the first night we met each other, we decided to become business partners, which is not normal. And so that's how I know it's God. And we have 38 women that we employ full time together. And we send 74 kids to school from preschool to university age. So in a nutshell, that's what happened.
Yeah, which is so incredible, because it's, you're changing generations to come. And it's, and I know that I say like you, but I know in the grand scheme, we know that it's like this, this is like the Lord working through you and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like? What does that employment look like? How do you vet new employees? How do you run a business in America, in Uganda?
So, whenever I first started like missions or whatever you would call it, I had like a completely different mindset than I do now. And I look at it as I want to partner, empower local people to do the work that I would have been doing if I had moved over there, if that makes sense. Because missions started like so long ago, where we would like, you know, missionaries would pack all their belongings in a coffin and take it over there. And then they would just like they were planning to die. And that was so inspirational and so necessary in those times. But right now, it's just not necessary, because we live in a modern world and we have modern technology and flights. I mean, I'm leaving for Uganda on Thursday. You know what I mean? And it's not like such a big thing. And so, so pretty much it looked like me like letting go of a lot of control of anything I would do. And Evelyn takes care of everything in Uganda. And so she is a business oriented, such a smart lady. Like, if you met her, you're like, why isn't she running this whole country? She's amazing. So she's the one who handles all that. I tell her I'm going to keep selling the products and doing everything in the U.S. to like find a market for you and raise donations for school fees and things like that. And you do everything there. So what she keeps really good records of everything. And she writes down every single thing that they make and what she pays them. So she has complete autonomy to hire, fire, whatever she feels like she could do at the time. And I'm like, if I make a really big order and you feel like you can give a few more ladies work, just do it. You're free. This is a partnership. So it's pretty much 50-50. I control things there. She controls things in Uganda. And it, I mean, so far we've been very blessed and it's worked well.
I think that's so beautiful. And so you guys have this incredible marketplace. I was just looking at it online, which is just, it's so like, there's a hoodie there or sweater that I definitely am going to need to buy that says Count It All Joy.
Yes.
So tell me about the things that you guys make. Like, there's the woven baskets and there's, I mean, there's just so many beautiful things. So I'm like, add to cart, add to cart. So tell me about the things that you guys make. Because there are, like I was saying, they're the classic Ugandan things, the woven basket, the paper beads. But then there's more. So tell me, how did you guys get into the more of it all?
Well, just like changing and with the market and what people wanted to buy. And I saw that people love the baskets, but they really wanted more neutral colors. And they love the paper beads, but they really wanted like certain different types. So we've just kind of grown and developed over the last 5 years to do that. And then also, whenever the pandemic hit, I used to do like, I don't even know, 50 markets a year, where I go to like churches or farmers markets and set up to sell our products. But of course, when the pandemic came, all of them got canceled. And so we had to pivot and we opened up a small shop in my hometown where people could come shop from. And so we started wholesaling from different organizations like us to really just like fill a whole shop. You can't just have our things in it, and for the new customers to have different products. So I love it because I personally know a lot of the girls who started the organizations that we have in our shop. So it's awesome to be able to support them as well. And then we also have like some customs, like you said, the sweatshirt. There's like all kinds of organizations and fair trade places. And I feel like it's so cool to be able to support them and have a custom product made for our store. Just the more our tagline is hire a girl, change the world. And I truly do believe that, as basic as it sounds, if more moms and more women were employed with dignified jobs, there would be a lot less heartache in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things I love on the website, it says, and I want to ask you about this, is a partner with a mom. Tell me about that. What is the Partner with a Mom program like?
So we do have a school, it's a school partnership, basically is the partner with the mom, but instead of like sponsor the kid, we're saying partner with the mom because it's a true partnership. We provide the tuition for them, and then they buy like the school supplies, school uniforms, things like that. So it's a true partnership. And then even some of our kids are orphans or, maybe not orphans, maybe they're abandoned or have some sort of situation where they don't have a parent looking after them. And we tell them, if you find kids like this and you feel like God wants you to care for them, but you know you can't provide, take them into your homes and we'll help find school fees if you'll provide the care. And so it's truly partner with the mom. And so we have 12 orphans off the streets now with our partner with the mom of the women, and they just take care of them after school, and we help provide their school fees. And truly, that's made the difference. That's all it took was, you know, $30 a month or whatever. They're all different costs because each mom also gets to pick which school they send their children to, because in Uganda, it's all like you have to pay school fees. It's not based on taxes or anything like that. So you have to pay school fees to be able to go. And there's different levels of schools. So each mom gets to pick which school their kids go to. So literally every kid has a different sponsorship rate, which makes it really confusing for us, but really empowering for the mom to have the choice. So
yeah, it's okay. I love that. I think that's so fascinating because so often when we, when as Americans, and this is very general, but like when we go into hard places, we try to fix everything and like, look what I've done for you. Like, and then we leave. Well, I really love what you guys are doing because you're partnering with the community. Like you said, your partner is there living there doing like is Ugandan. So like feet on the ground in like the realest way. But then you're also saying like, we just because we think we know best doesn't mean we do. And so you're saying like, let's partner together. What school do you want your kiddo to go to? Instead of being like, here's $30 a month, figure it out. It's like, okay, no, like you're actually doing the work and partnering with them. You've given them a job. You've given, and not given them like, look what I've done for you. But like, hey, like well, we've got some stuff that we need to do. Like, do you want this job? And I just think that's really, really beautiful because it's not that white savior mentality. It's very much like, partner with us if you want to. It's just fascinating to me.
Thank you. Yes, we're trying to very hard to get from the white savior mentality because I definitely had some of that in my head. Just I think most people do whenever they haven't been to a developing nation before, whenever you've come from like a place like America. So it's like just redoing in your mind, and we actually make more of an impact and more of a long-lasting impact. Then, because honestly, if I had gone over there and tried to do all this myself, I would already be burnt out and quit by now, because it's just so, so difficult to do that.
Yeah.
And so to be able to like have help and not be able, I already feel burnt out and I just do this half of it. I can't imagine doing that half too. So, yeah.
That's fascinating. And I wonder if you can speak to this at all or if your moms have ever talked about this. But here in America, when we work as moms, we tend to feel guilt. We tend to feel I'm giving 100% of myself here, or 100, you know, breaking up a part of me to work. Do the moms that you work with, do they ever talk to you about mom guilt?
Absolutely not. They don't feel that at all. Yeah, I know. It is so crazy. They think it's the best thing in the world to model a hardworking, person to their kids and to be able to show them if you work hard, you things will happen for you. Mm-hmm. And there is even this story about one of our girls who just joined us in the last year. She worked really hard. She used to live like in a village and they do a lot of farming in Uganda. And she was farming and selling her produce. And finally she got some money, and then she also got a loan and bought her husband at the time a Bodo, which is like the little motorcycles they drive around everywhere for transportation. And you can make money doing that. And he bought him that and was like, okay, go provide for our family. Like, she herself did it, and he sold it and bought alcohol. And so she like defaulted on the loan from the bank and lost all the money that she invested herself into it. And so that is like the example that they don't want them to have. They want them to see that working hard gets you somewhere. And to have a job, a dignified job for a mom there is sort of rare. So yeah, they really look up to their parents for that.
Which is, like I said, I love that. And I think it's something that we need to remember as women in America. Like, when we have a job, like when we have the opportunity to work, it's not something to be taken lightly, but it also is something that's like, let's model this for our families. Let's be that Proverbs 31 woman and really like lean into that.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, are you a working mom? Do you know someone who's a working mom? Do you feel stuck and just kind of lonely as you are doing all the things that working moms do? Because let me let you in on a little secret. All moms are working moms. I want to invite you to come over to the Moms at Work podcast with me, your host over here and over there, to listen to some conversations. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. We are talking about shame and grace and tips for how to do summer well this year with our kids and with our jobs. We also just talked about guilt and are you really guilty? I hope that you'll go check it out. It's my new podcast called Moms at Work that I get to host with the Christian Parenting Network. Go check it out. You can just search my name, Jeanette Tapley, in your favorite podcast player and be sure to follow along. It's a great time over there, just like it is over here. So I hope that you will listen in. I can't wait to see you there. Okay, now back to today's episode. What are some struggles that you guys face as far as being, you know, on two different continents doing a business or leading women in work? What are some of those challenges?
Definitely one of the biggest things is the time difference.
They're
8, 9 hours ahead. So that makes it really complicated at times. Shipping and customs has been a whole beast of itself. Yeah. I think we finally in a good place with that after years of struggling. And just like we've had some relationships with the ladies there where, you know, with anybody, you know, it's hard to work with anybody. Yeah. And Evelyn, I know, has had to let a few of her friends go that she knew like way before we started this. And so that has been really hard for her to like lose those friendships. And that has been probably the most difficult thing of the whole thing for her, is because whenever she all of a sudden was like their boss, it became a different, instead of like them struggling together. And then all of a sudden she was in control of their salary and the school fees and everything. Yeah. But only a few of them went away. The rest of them are still with us since day one. So
that's great. That's so cool. How do you and Evelyn maintain a healthy relationship as partners?
Well, I thank God for WhatsApp, because we use it every single day. I think America is the only country in the world that doesn't use that. Like, every other country is, WhatsApp is everywhere. But it's just like texting and calling. So we message each other every day. And of course, we pray for each other. And I usually go twice a year to visit her. And I used to like stay in a rent apartment there, something like that for the time. But now I have like her son moved out. So I have my own room in her house. So I even stay there. And so we're kind of roommates too now when I'm in Uganda. And so it's just awesome because we're just we're just really good friends too, on top of being business partners. So we pray for each other. We always we'll get on phone calls and just have like long prayer sessions together. And that helps more than anything, because we are such different culturally that, I mean, the thing that really unites us is God, of course. Yeah. So that's what we really try to focus on. And we are equals too. It's not like either of us are like, it's 50-50 partnership. So we try to keep it like that. And she's always telling me what to do. So I love it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, hey, somebody's got to be like the bossier half. Like, I mean, in most relationships you have that.
Yes.
So it's nice.
It's the best. So she's always like, she used to, when we first got to start working together, she'd be like timid and like, she would always be bossing all the other ladies around, but never say anything to me. Oh, that's changed completely. And I love it.
That's so good. In the past 2 years dealing with COVID, how did COVID affect your shop? How did it affect the women working? What did that look like for you guys?
So I was in Uganda whenever the lockdowns first started happening. And I was actually on the last plane out of Uganda before the airport shut down for months. And so that was kind of a crazy time. But what was even more amazing, and it's not really surprising because God always has a plan. So I started hearing about all the lockdowns in America, and Uganda was a little bit behind America. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? They're going to lock this country down. And in the U.S., they're going to lose their jobs. And how are we going to provide? And it was like very, very stressful. Well, 2 days before everything locked down in Uganda, I got an email from this really big company, and they ordered 6,300 necklaces from us. We had never gotten any kind of order like that ever in our whole existence. And so then we immediately went and bought everything we needed to at the stores in Uganda and all the materials we needed to fulfill that order. And then the stores closed down for 4 months. If we had gotten that order, like even a day or two later, we wouldn't have been able to agree to the order. So we got everything, and that order sustained us all the way through 4 months of their very strict lockdown in Uganda. And so we also did, the government was providing food. They just didn't have enough to go around at all in Uganda. Like, it wasn't even close to being enough. And so we started raising money, and we said $50 feeds a family for a week and a few neighbors in need. And what they did is we would hand out these huge food packages at the beginning of every week, and then they pretty much just cook for all their neighbors all week. And so everyone in their little community got something during that time that they wouldn't have gotten before. And so God just kept on providing. I was like, where is this money coming from? We've never had this much money. And we just, every week we'd empty out our bank account, send all the money we had so they could buy food packages. And it was really a huge testimony to that whole community. And they know it was because of God, because my ladies won't let them forget it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I think where there's a time of desperation and need, when we look to the heavens, that's when we see it. And that's, I mean, it could very easily be like, well, this happened, what a great coincidence. But it's like, no, we're gonna call it what it is and call it from the heavens. And that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Yes. And I mean, COVID and lockdowns, of course, was horrible for the whole world. I mean, there was nothing, but I always just tried to see the good in what was provided in it. And I'm just so glad that my ladies all the time, but us as a whole, our whole group was able to really do something for the community and point them back to God during that difficult time. It was very encouraging.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing about leading this group of women, like, and being a part of Elizabeth's voice?
I think whenever I'm there, it's just like our inside jokes and how we've come like a family, even though some of them don't speak any English and I barely speak any Lugandan, that we all have the same mission, even though we're all so different. And just the community aspect of it all and feeling like a family. And when I'm there, I just feel it. They just love me and they take care of me. And that's like a lot about me, but they just like fill me up so much and encourage me to keep going in our mission together and just remind me this is what we're doing. Like every Saturday they have Preaching Saturday where all the ladies outside their little compound, people come and they have their mini church service and they preach and they minister. Anybody who's lost anyone in their community, they always take stuff mm-hmm. to. And it's just like it's very natural and organic in the way God intended it to be. And so I'm just very happy and very proud of every single one of them.
Mm, that's so beautiful. I love that. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's a beautiful thing. I love, I often, when we talk to people who do this kind of work, we have friends in Kenya and y'all, I think about my daughter. I think about my sweet little Congolese girl and what she would have been up against if she had she stayed in Congo. And so that's why these things matter so much to me. That dignified work that protects them from the world and from what could be their future. And I just really love what you're doing. So please tell us, how can we support Elizabeth's Voice? How can we shop? What can we do?
Well, we just bought land in Uganda last summer, and we're building our own workshop. And yay. So that's very, very exciting. And we're also building apartments on it where women can stay and like get back up on their feet. And so we're always raising money for that, mm-hmm. as well as we do have 11 kids that still need partners for the Partner with the Mom. And so you can reach out to us if you want to know who's left. It's hard to like put on the website because every yeah. single person's a different price of school. And so I just tell people reach out and I'll yeah. kind of let you know the ranges and partner with you with someone. And then of course you can shop on our website, elizabethsvoice.org/shop. And we have all kinds of products you can buy and support the ladies.
Okay, well, this is so great. And it's all elizabethsvoice.org. And you're actually going, you said you're leaving this week to go back to Uganda. How long will you be there?
So I'll be there for like 6 weeks this time.
Oh, that's great.
I get back the end of March. Yeah, I'm so excited.
That'll be fine. Oh, I love that. Okay, well, the last question I love to ask people, and it's so fun to see what seasons everyone's in, but we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun, a time for everything. What is it time for in your own life right now?
I think I'm just feeling in a weird way, or maybe not weird way, like renewed, because like it's been up and down of this starting this organization and selling the products. Yeah. And the last few years have been rough just personally. And so I just feel like excited about what we're doing again. And I just feel like we are going to have a renewal this year and sell many, many products.
Yeah, man. Amen. Absolutely. Well, this is so much fun. I really, like I said, this matters to my heart. Dignified work matters. And if I could just like shake our friends in America sometimes and say like, don't feel guilty, set a good example. That's what I would do. What about you? What's one thing that you want to leave our friends with? Like the last message, if they don't hear anything else we talked about, what's that last little thing you want to remind them?
I think that it's like super overwhelming to see all the need in the world and just feel overwhelmed. What in the world am I supposed to be doing about this? There's this stuff in Africa, there's Afghanistan, there's the border, there's like so many things going yeah. on. But just knowing that truly, if you can support organizations that are providing dignified jobs, that, and I've been on the ground and I've been traveling to Africa for 8 years now, that makes the biggest difference mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. to these women in these countries than anything else. So any organization that says they're providing dignified jobs, support as much as you can, because yeah. that is truly going to leave. If you want like the biggest bang for your buck, that's what I say you should do. Whether it's a yeah. donation or buying a product or whatever it is, it truly will make the biggest difference, the longest lasting impact. And our tagline, like I said, is hire a girl, change the world, because it's true. That really does change the world and make it a better mm-hmm. place.
Yeah. Well, and like we said before, it changes their family tree. It changes their mm-hmm. their lives and their kids' lives, and then in turn their kids' lives. Like it's a ripple effect for their entire life. So I love that.
That's right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thanks for doing this work. Friends, everything will be linked in the show notes and on the website for you to go and shop.
Thank you so much. It was so nice chatting with you today.
Oh, thank you. I really hope that you loved meeting Amy today. It was really, really great to hear her story. And after our interview, she actually sent me some really, really incredible gifts, from a woven basket to a makeup pouch that I use in my purse. I'll show it to you on Instagram. So be sure you're following me over there at Jeanette Tapley. And be sure to follow Elizabeth's Voice on Instagram. It's at Elizabeth's Voice. And I'll have everything linked in the description below. And if you have any questions about the podcast, head over to It's Time for Coffee podcast. Pod.com. Everything is listed there, from the unedited transcripts of the show to any links you might need. Okay, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day, and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.